Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Epic. If you are new with us, my name's Trent. I'm one of the pastors here, and I would love to meet you after the service. I'll be out in the lobby. Just stop by and let me know you're new. I'd love to welcome you to our church family. Now, today, as we begin, I'm curious to know, how many of you have ever gotten a song stuck in your head? All right, so a number of us. All right, so like maybe you wake up in the morning and for whatever reason you were thinking about that song or dreaming about that song, and then all day long you're thinking about this song and hearing it over and over and over again. So when I was in college, I was a psychology major, and I like to try some of my psychological experiments on my roommates. Doesn't that sound like fun? One of those experiments was, it was actually an assignment in our class. I had to try to get someone to do something they weren't doing without them knowing I was trying to get them to do that. Does that make sense? So I tried to get a song stuck in their head. So as we were getting ready for school on many mornings, I would start just singing a song that we all knew, or humming that song. I'd only do it for about 5 seconds and then I'd stop. And there were many days, a few minutes later, I would hear my roommates singing that song or humming that song. They would come back at the end of the day after being in classes and they'd say like, "You'll never believe it. I've had this song stuck in my head all day long. It's this crazy song." And my response would be, "That's interesting. I wonder where that came from, huh? That's wild." And then finally they caught on to what I was doing. They told me to stop it. But so I tell you that because I think we all have a soundtrack that's stuck in our heads. We all have songs that are stuck in our heads that play over and over again. Some of those songs are good, but there are some songs that are bad. They're negative songs, and they're like broken records that keep playing over and over and over in our lives, and they keep us stuck in life. And over the past few weeks, I've shared with you some of the broken soundtracks that I've listened to in my life. In week one, we talked about the soundtrack or the song that I'm not good enough. And I hear that often. And I have to work hard to turn that down. I know it's not true. I have to work hard to turn that down and turn up the music that God wants me to hear. Last week, we talked about this other soundtrack that I hear, and it is, "I'm a failure." And there are moments when I feel like I've failed at something. I feel so bad about that. Or if I think of a previous failure, even though it's years ago, I can just hear that broken record going over and over again. "You're such a failure." And I work hard not to listen to that again. I know it's not true, but I've heard that song for so long. Sometimes it just seems like it is true. Another broken record or broken soundtrack that I listen to is just two words: "I can't." I can't. I can't become the person God wants me to be. I can't grow to be a little bit more like Jesus or live the life that he really desires for me to live. I can't. There's all kinds of things I feel like I can't do. And when that song gets stuck in my head, I really stay stuck in life. And over my combined years of being a counselor and a pastor, about 30 years, I have experienced a lot of other people that have that same broken song stuck in their head. "I can't." Like, maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you feel like you can't make it through what you're going through. Maybe you feel like you can't hold your relationship or hold your marriage together. You can't fix one of your kids that may be wayward. You can't forgive yourself. You can't forgive someone else. You can't live down your past. You can't live down the pain that you have. You can't find someone to love you. Like there's all kinds of things that we say in life that "I can't." We keep hearing that song over and over again. And I'm curious, is there anybody besides me that's ever heard in your life, "You can't do something"? Okay, so many of us have heard that in our lives. A common broken soundtrack, I think, connected to that and connected to God is this statement: "I can't hear from God. He doesn't speak to me." Behind that statement often comes, like no matter how many times I talk to God, I feel like he doesn't talk back to me. And then behind that statement is this thought, God must not love me because I can't hear him. I can't hear him speaking to me. It's a common broken soundtrack that many people experience. And if you are experiencing that, or if you have experienced that, today we're gonna talk about how to turn that down and how to turn up God's truth. So if you're new with us, today we're in part three of our soundtracks series. And in this series, what we're doing is we are exploring some of those broken soundtracks that we all have stuck in our heads. And we're trying to learn God's truth. We're trying to learn new songs that we can get stuck in our heads. And we're doing that through a short study of some of the Psalms in the Old Testament part of the Bible. If you're not familiar with Psalms, it's a collection of prayers, songs, poems, and declarations the people of Israel used to sing, pray, and declare before God. And as you read the Psalms, you'll find that there are some songs where the person writing them is in deep anguish, and they're expressing a broken soundtrack. Like they're wondering, where are you, God? Why have you abandoned me? Why won't you show up and rescue me? And they're expressing these soundtracks. And then you'll also find that they also express deep truth of God, of who he is and what he can do in our lives. So in this series so far, we have explored Psalms 46, Psalms 51, Psalms 32. Today, we're gonna look at Psalms 119. Now, the interesting thing about Psalms 119 is that it is the longest chapter in Psalms. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses in it. So I hope you didn't have any plans for lunch today, because we're gonna spend a little time today diving into this. We're actually not gonna go through every one of those verses. What we're gonna do is we're gonna look at the theme in all of those verses, because there is one consistent theme in those 176 verses. We're gonna jump all over in Psalms 119. We're gonna start in verse 105. So listen to what verse 105 says. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So that simple verse tells us that God speaks to us through his written word. That's the primary way that God speaks to us today, is through his word. God speaks in other ways. He speaks through prayer, he speaks through people, he speaks through circumstances. But again, the primary way that God speaks to us today is through his written word. Now, there are some things that I love about this verse, and there are some things that I don't love about this verse. So this verse tells us that God's word, or God wants to speak to us, wants to guide us through his word, like a light or like a lamp. It's also can be referenced as a flashlight. So God wants to speak to us using his word like a flashlight. Now I love that and I don't love that. Here's what I love about it. I love the fact that God has captured his thoughts in print for us so we can read them over and over again. And here's why I need that. Because I will read God's truth and think, this is amazing. I have to apply that. And then an hour later, a day later, a week later, I'm like, what does God say about that? Oh, yeah, I gotta go read that again. So I need to read scripture over and over and over again so I can understand what God is saying. So God has written so many things down for us. These are his thoughts captured in print, and he's spoken on so many things in the Bible. And so I love the fact that God wants to guide us through his written word. What I don't love about the fact that God wants to use his word like a lamp or like a light is that that only shows me the next few steps. I don't wanna just see the next few steps. I want a spotlight that'll help me see the next 100 steps. And I can run ahead and get there before God gets there. So I struggle with that God just wants to go step by step at a time. And it's funny that even though I say I want 100 steps, many times I struggle with the 2 steps God gives me, many times with the 1 step God gives me. There's times God goes like, Trent, I just want you to take that step. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't really like that. I'm not feeling that today. Like maybe somebody else, but I don't want to do that. So maybe another day. God, what else do you got? And God goes, no, like that's the step. I know you. I know what you need to do in your life. So I love and hate the fact that God wants to guide me through his word just step by step. But here's why I think he does that. I think he does that because he wants a relationship with us, a personal relationship where we walk in step with him. Not where he says, all right, here's the instructions, next 100 steps, just go ahead, you know, run as fast as you can. I'll meet you at the end. God doesn't do that. God says, I want to guide you step by step. Here's what it looks like. Trent, I want you to go this way. I want you to do that. I want you to talk to that person. Okay, Lord, I'll take this step. All right, Trent, like here's the next part of that. This is a little deeper part of what I'm asking you to do in context of what you're wrestling with right now. So I want you to go this way. Okay. Then there are moments God goes, hey, Trent, I need to have you step back a little bit because there's something that we need to revisit in your life. And God, I thought I had that figured out. Like that was like all last week. Like, no, yeah, we got to go back there because we need to revisit that. So God wants to walk step by step with us because he desires a deep personal relationship with us, not a distant relationship where he just gives us information and we just go do what we want. He wants an ever-growing personal relationship with us. The amazing thing about God's word is that in it, God has spoken about so many subjects. So if you have questions about like marriage, well, God has spoken. If you have money issues, God has spoken. If you have trust issues, God has spoken. If you need wisdom, if you need to know what you should do, God has spoken. If you need to know what your purpose is in life, God has spoken. God has spoken on so many things in Scripture, thousands of subjects, directly or indirectly. And we have to learn what God is saying in his word. Where God is not direct, he gives principles, wisdom, and guidance that helps us find the next steps that he wants us to take. Now, does that happen like that? Not usually. Sometimes it does. Other times it takes time. Again, God's guiding us step by step through that process. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. This is a personal example. It's not mine, it's my wife's, and I share this story with her permission. This is an example of God speaking directly to Tammy through his written word. It involves a broken record that Tammy has had stuck in her head for many seasons of her life. And that broken record is that she has felt like God doesn't love her. And beyond that, she has felt unlovable. Like, God, you don't love me. You must not love me because I don't feel like I'm lovable. For whatever reason, that broken soundtrack has been stuck in her head for far too long. And if you ever wonder, hey, can that have a negative impact on someone's life and how they view themselves? Absolutely. Again, I wonder what negative, broken soundtrack you have stuck in your head. It is having an influence on you and your life and how you live your life. Well, I've told parts of this portion of her story that I'm going to tell you, but I don't think I've ever told this specific part of it. It was 19 years ago that Tammy came down with a chronic illness. So prior to that, she was an active mother of four, very athletic woman. And then after her illness, her health went away like that, like almost overnight. And she went from being very active to being in intense pain all the time, walking with a cane. She could barely get around our house. And she had to sleep in our recliner for a very long time because it was the only place that would alleviate just some of her pain. And as she was walking through that journey, we started going to see doctors and we went to specialist, doctor to doctor. We went out to Shands Hospital on two separate occasions looking for answers. For 2.5 years, we were looking for a diagnosis. And every time we went to a new doctor, we were told, I can't tell you what it is. I can tell you what it isn't. And that wasn't very helpful to us. That wasn't what we were looking for. We were looking for an answer, even if it was, you know, a terrible answer like cancer. Just having an answer would be better than no answer. So we were looking and we felt very lonely in that season of life. Those were some dark, difficult moments for us. And in those moments, Tammy kept hearing that broken soundtrack. I'm not lovable. God must not love me. It was blaring in her ears on a constant basis. So one night, she was in the recliner. It was dark. She was reading the Bible as she often did in the middle of the night when she was in pain. She would spend time reading God's word. And she was in so much pain, she got to that spot again where she just asked God, God, do you love me? And she's sitting in the dark with a flashlight reading. She asked that question, God, do you love me? And she dropped her flashlight and it landed on her Bible. And it highlighted Jeremiah 31 verse 3, which says, I've loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With an unfailing love, I've drawn you to myself. So God spoke very directly to Tammy in that moment through that verse. If you are a Bible student, you might push back and say, but that's a statement from God to the people of Israel and Judah like thousands of years ago in a difficult time in their history. And if you'd say that, I'd say you're right. But I also strongly believe that God said that again about 16 years ago to Tammy because he wanted her to know that he loved her. So as she continued to kind of wrestle with that reality of God saying that he loved her, she asked the second question. She said, God, will you ever heal me? And then the next verse she read was Jeremiah 30 verse 17, which says, I will give you back your health and heal your wounds. Again, another very direct answer for the question that Tammy was asking. And God has been healing Tammy over the past 16 years. And if you would see her today, you would not think that she battled anything that she battled years ago. It's amazing to see the difference of where she's at physically. But also, not only has he been healing her physically, but he's been healing her emotionally. I actually think God used her physical pain and illness to reach into her heart and touch some emotional wounds that needed to be healed. That maybe she wouldn't have allowed to be healed or wouldn't have been healed without the physical part of it. So I'm not sure, I don't know what God was thinking in that moment, but I do know he healed her physically and is healing her physically and has been healing her emotionally as well. So very personal way that God spoke directly to my wife about a broken soundtrack that she was listening to. And here's what I'm not recommending through that story. I'm not recommending that you and I play Bible roulette where we say, God, here's my question. Open it up wherever and read the verse that we see. Because if you do that, you might land on Matthew, Matthew 7, I think it is, where Jesus says to a guy, go sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor. And, you know, you might be stuck in that moment. So that is not a wise thing that we should do. That's not how we should handle God's word. But God spoke directly to Tammy in her regular Bible reading time. So she consistently, day by day, spent time reading the Bible. God was using his word to speak directly to her and say some very personal things to her. So we have to become lifelong students of the Bible, I think, to clearly hear what God is saying to us. And some of you might say, well, I don't know much about the Bible. I don't know anything about the Bible. So how in the world do I do that? Well, Psalms 119 gives us some answers. In verse 18, it says, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. Verse 15, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. Verse 27, help me understand the meaning of your commandments and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. Verse 33, teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Verse 7, as I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. And verse 32, I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. So for us to learn what God is saying to us through his word, we have to read it, we have to study it, we have to pursue it, we have to meditate on it, we have to apply it to our lives. We have to choose to do those things over and over and over again for us to, I think, really hear what God is saying to us. And I know that that can feel like an intimidating task, especially if you're new to the Bible. Even if you're not new to the Bible can feel like a complex book to understand. So if you're brand new to the Bible, I have some simple suggestions for you, some simple steps that you can take to begin learning more about the Bible. So the first step is this: get a Bible. So to learn the Bible, you have to have a Bible. You have to have one. So if you don't have one, we have Bibles at the back of each seating section, just like this. They are our free gift to you. And over the past 16 and a half years or so, we've given away thousands of these things. And so if you need a Bible, take a Bible. If you wanna give a Bible or a stack of Bibles to people at work or in your neighborhood, take them with you. So you can make sure somebody has a Bible who needs a Bible. So we want you to have a Bible. If you need a Bible app, we recommend the YouVersion Bible app, spelled Y-O-U version. And as you download that, you'll notice there are all kinds of translations that are out there you can read. There are some great ones, but I recommend starting with the New Living Translation. I recommend that just because of its reader friendliness. Again, there's other great translations, but that's one I would recommend if you're brand new to the Bible. So number one, you gotta get a Bible. Number two, you gotta read the Bible on a regular basis. So we have to set aside time every day. I think a few minutes every day is a great start to learning the Bible. And there are many ways to start reading the Bible. I've put a Bible reading plan on our spiritual growth challenge. So there's a weekly Bible reading plan that takes what we're talking about on Sunday just a little bit deeper. So the way you could start is just show up on Sunday, hear what we're talking about, and then go read these verses this week. And you could begin your journey of learning the Bible. You could read one book in the Bible. And if you're looking for a recommendation there, I recommend the book of John in the New Testament part of the Bible. You will get an up close and personal encounter with Jesus. And I encourage you, as you read that, watch how he treats people and watch what he says about himself. So you could do a book study. You could read the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. There are 31 Proverbs, and in many months, there are 31 days. And so you could read a proverb per day, gaining wisdom from God. You could read one chapter out of the Bible. There was one time I spent 2 years studying Romans chapter 8, just over and over and over and over again, because there's so much depth in that chapter. So again, there are so many ways to start learning and reading the Bible. We just have to start. We have to pick a place and start doing that. And again, I have some great recommendations on our spiritual growth challenge in the lobby if you wanna grab that before you leave today. So number one, get a Bible. Two, read your Bible. Number three, listen to the Bible being taught. Today, here in our country, we have access to many resources where we can listen to someone teaching the Bible and explaining it to us. There are podcasts. You can go on YouTube and see videos. There are great pastors out there, and you can hear their sermons. There are great audiobooks. There are so many ways. You can get into a small group and unpack the Bible with a small group of other people. Again, there's so many ways for you to do that, but we have to start and take one of those ways. Again, I have a few more recommendations on our spiritual growth challenge for those who are interested in that. Another way to learn the Bible is to come to church on a regular basis. That simple practice can help you learn a lot about the Bible. You'd be amazed at how much you can learn in a relatively short amount of time if you just read the Bible on a regular basis and if you just showed up at church consistently. You would be amazed at what you can learn. And when you come, I recommend that you take notes on paper, on your phone, however you take notes, take notes. And the purpose of taking notes is so you can study them later. Why? Because we remember more of what we hear and write down than just what we hear. And if you're curious about that, test yourself later today. In a few hours, ask yourself or ask somebody who was at church with you what church was about today and see what they say. You know what's funny? there are times people will ask me, I'll go to lunch afterwards and I'll see somebody else in the community and they'll say, how was church today? Like, what'd you talk about? Like, I don't remember. It was like an hour ago. How could I be expected to remember that? So we forget things we just hear. We've got to write them down. That helps us embed it in our lives. In Acts chapter 17, it records a group of Christ followers in a city called Berea. They were listening to the Apostle Paul teach, and what they did was they studied the Bible day and night to make sure Paul was teaching the truth. So that's what I ask of you. I don't want you to just take my word for what the Bible says. Study it to make sure we're teaching truth here. Now, if you noticed in verse 130, it said, the teaching of your word gives light so even the simple can understand. I think God wrote that verse for me because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, and I need things broken down simply so I can understand them. And I love watching Jesus in the Gospels. He breaks things down simply for his audience, and he talks about sheep. He talks about water and bread and a path that people can walk on and difficult roads. He talks about things that his audience would clearly understand. So I need things broken down simply. If you need things broken down simply, then we work really hard to do that here at Epic. If you like super complex biblical things that are hard to understand, I'll recommend some other places maybe that you would like. Because we really try to make things as understandable and as simple as possible. So if you want to hear what God says through his word, we have to get a Bible, read the Bible, listen to the Bible being taught. And I understand that there are a number of you here that are Christ followers, and you would say, yeah, I know all that stuff. Yeah, been a Christ follower for a long time. If so, great. My question is, are you still reading it? Are you still pursuing it? Are you still studying it? Are you still meditating on God's word every day? Are you still reading God's word to get a fresh word from God for today instead of just counting on what God said to you a few years ago? You know, there are moments in our relationship with God, if you're a Christ follower, where we can have a great relationship with him, and then for whatever reason, we kind of drift and we get a little distance from God and prayer and Bible reading. And when we're looking for something fresh, we're just looking in the past. But God wants to speak to us fresh and give us a fresh word for today. So we've got to regularly, wow, that's a big word for me, spend time in God's word so that we can turn down the trash music that we listen to and turn up God's music that he wants us to hear. The consistent theme in Psalms 119 is God has spoken and God is speaking through his word. And so we, as his followers, need to become students of his word so that we can clearly understand what he is saying to us. So here's my closing challenge to you. I challenge you to spend some time every day reading the Bible. And I challenge you to start your day with the Bible and end your day with the Bible. So start your day. When you wake up in the morning, instead of reaching for your phone to scroll on social media or look at your calendar or look at the news or the weather, I challenge you, make the first thing you do is to hear what God has to say to you. And if you sign up for the Bible app, with YouVersion Bible app, every day there's a verse that you can read and a short devotional that you could do. So I think that's a great way to start your day, by letting God speak to you as you begin the day. And then there's all kinds of chaos that happens throughout the day. And I encourage you, at the end of the day, is close your day by hearing from God again. Before you close your eyes, before you go to sleep, don't watch any more YouTube videos. Just listen to God. Let him speak directly to you and fall asleep listening to his voice. I guarantee you that'll affect how you sleep, and it'll affect the music that you listen to in your life. I think that simple practice of starting our day with what God wants to say to us through his word and ending our day through his truth can impact us in some big ways. In just a minute, our worship team is gonna sing a song about the love of God. I think it's a great song for all of us, but I think it's especially a good song for those of you who may have been hearing that I can't negative soundtrack going on in your mind. Like, I can't hear God, and I conclude that God must not love me. It's not true. The primary message of the Bible is that God loves you. It's the primary message found over and over and over again through all the pages of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning to the end. It's one consistent message. God loves you. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross so you can have an eternal relationship with him. So if you've been in that spot where you just feel like, I don't know that God loves me, I can't hear from him, God wants to say something to you today. It's the same thing he said thousands of years ago. It's the same thing he said to Tammy 16 years ago. I think he wants to say to you, Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love, with unfailing love, I've drawn you to myself. Again, God loves you with a love that you and I can never comprehend. But we need to learn more and more about it so we can hear that soundtrack in our life the most. We want God's voice to be the loudest in our lives. And that can happen through his word. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe you sense, like in our first two services, you sense something's drawing you. Like you feel a tug in your heart, like you need to make a decision for Jesus. If so, that's the Holy Spirit drawing you into a relationship with God Almighty. And so if you've never made that decision before, I'm gonna walk you through how you can make that decision today. So if you would, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, have a conversation with God, and then we're gonna sing together about God's love. So God, I am so grateful. We all are so grateful that you have spoken to us and you are speaking through your word. God, I thank you that you've recorded your word for us so we can read it and reread it and meditate on it and apply it to our lives. And Lord, we understand that the whole purpose of the Bible is not that we just get through the Bible. The purpose of the Bible is that we get its core content through us, through our lives. And that core message that you have for us is that you love us and you love the world. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to turn that soundtrack up and we'd be able to drown out the negative songs that we've been listening to for far too long. Lord, we want a new song stuck in our heads. As we continue to pray, I know there just might be someone here who'd say, listen, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Never started one, and I feel a tug right now to have that. And if that's you, you can start a relationship with him right now. You could have a conversation with him that goes something like this. God, I admit I'm a sinner in need of a savior. And today I believe Jesus, you are that savior. And you died so I can live forever. I commit my life to you. I confess my sins to you, and I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my King. If you have just prayed that prayer for the first time in your life, would you just do me a favor and hold your hand up real high for just a second, just so I can acknowledge that. Just hold your hand up for a second. I see that hand. Thank you. God, I thank you for these courageous people who responded to you drawing them. Lord, we're grateful for the message that you said thousands of years ago, but it's still applicable today. You have loved us and you do love us with an everlasting love, and you are constantly drawing us into a deeper relationship with you. So Lord, I pray for these people who have a new relationship with you, that you would grow them in that relationship, and we as a church family would support them on their journey. God, thanks for your love. Thanks for speaking to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.